Support for Faith Matters comes from the law offices of Mullen, Hoard, and Brown, LLP, offering a full range of legal services to regional and national clients. Mullen, Hoard, and Brown are members of ALFA International. More information is available at 765-7491 or mullenhoard.com.
Welcome to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Join us for a conversation about faith in everyday life. Now here's the host of Faith Matters, Tom McGovern.
I'm Tom McGovern, host of Faith Matters, and it is a delight this Sunday afternoon to have as our special guest, Ashley Cox. Ashley is here to introduce a YWCA study which was commissioned in 2017 to look at the status of women in Lubbock. And in the course of our conversation this Sunday afternoon, we will tell you about some other programs coming up that will add to this report and amplify it, so that our listeners can know a little about you, Ashley. You're born here in West Texas.
I was born in Lubbock. I grew up in Abernathy. I graduated from Abernathy High School and went on to Texas Tech with big dreams, one of which being my husband, Jeff, who I've been married to for 27 years.
With two beautiful children, too.
Two beautiful children. One named Charlie, who's a junior in high school. And my daughter is Olivia, who's a freshman in high school, which is very fun because they drive off to school together. I watch them with fear and trembling as they go. But it's really neat because they have a class together and we get to see them as friends and not just siblings. So they're lovely.
You love horses.
Yes, sir. My grandparents had horses. They owned quarter horses and raced them. So I do love horses. And of course, I love West Texas.
With the horses and with your grandfather and your dad, you loved the association.
I did, drinking black coffee and cheering for the horses and trying to pick the horses and doing all the hard work that it took around the races, for sure.
And subsequent to graduating at Tech, as I recall, you majored in political science?
Yes, I have a Bachelor of Arts in political science. Then I went on to law school to become a trial lawyer and to be a prosecutor. And after I graduated, I worked with the district attorney's office here in Lubbock. My area of expertise is in domestic violence. After I left the DA's office in 2002, then I stayed home with my children, but have continued for over 15 years to do pro bono work with women and children until recently. About last year, I became an active to focus on my family and also on writing.
Absolutely delightful to see your dedication, the pro bono dedication to the needs of women, especially women experiencing violence. You came to that interest out of some personal experience?
Yes, based on my own life experience. Initially, it was about finding justice for people who had been hurt by people that they loved, whether it's their husband or their boyfriend or their father. And I went specifically to prosecute crimes against children. But along the way, I really fell in love with handling domestic violence cases and having the opportunity to listen to women share their lives and tell their stories so that we could help in some way and help them to know that they are important and that they matter. We did lots of things to help keep them safe. In my pro bono work, I could help them with all different things, whether it was paperwork or helping them get connected to resources that they need. A lot of the women I worked with deal with addiction issues, so helping them to get into treatment or facilities or the rehab that they need so that they can be there for their kids.
We have so much need for what you do in our society. As you reflect back on your time when you were a prosecutor, are there stories or remembrance in a particular way from that time in your life that influence who you are and what you do?
Definitely. I could tell a lot of horror stories about what women have suffered, what they have been through, what part we played in that. That would be easy because the mercy and compassion that I have for those women, or that anybody would have for their struggle, that's the easy part of what we did. Really, where God taught me about mercy and compassion was through the defendants.
This particular individual, how did he influence you?
I was involved with him over the course of several different cases. My sense of justice and righteousness for him and what he had done was very strong because of all of these overlapping cases and the kind of things he was accused of, which was aggravated sexual assault on a child. He was accused of burglary of a habitation. He was accused of giving alcohol and marijuana to minors that he wasn't even supposed to be in contact with. There was a whole list of things. I felt so strongly about it. I was the chief felony prosecutor in the 140th at the time, and I couldn't even handle his case.
So you recused yourself?
I did. I recused myself from the case. And sure enough, here he comes into the courtroom.
And he said to you?
He said to me, "Ms. Cox, what I've learned is that God loves me the same way that he loves you, and that God wants me the same way that he wants you, and that God forgives me the same way that he forgives you." He was in a wheelchair at the time. I'm standing above him, and in that moment, it was just like the whole world shifted. And every defendant who was sitting in the jury box, when the prisoners came in their orange jumpsuits and they were shackled, they would sit them in the jury box for guilty pleas. Mm-hmm. There were guys in there that were accused of really bad things that day: murder, rape, aggravated sexual assault of a child. And all of a sudden the world shifted and we were all the same. We were all unworthy.
But Ashley, what you've described to our listeners and to me this afternoon is the profound way that God's love and God's grace and the Holy Spirit works in us in the most extraordinary places, in the most extraordinary times.
It changed my life. It made me have mercy and compassion for someone who didn't deserve it in the same way that I don't deserve the mercy and compassion from God. But it also made me understand the victims of violence and the struggles that women face even more.
And it's a two-way street, you know, often, and not to justify in any way the horrible things that happen in violence, but nonetheless, the humans who perpetrate this type of violence are often the victims themselves of the same situations. And it's a kind of a vicious cycle that repeats itself, perpetuates itself.
It is. But when you look at it from the outside, most people don't understand that. They look at where they are and they go, well, why are they there? Or couldn't they have done something different? Or what could they have done to fix it? That's not how we should look at that. We don't understand their struggle and how they got where they are, but they're there. So how do we help?
Thank you, Ashley, for sharing this intimate personal experience. In a broad sense, what type of work have you done down through the years for women and for children out of your own particular mission?
I've done everything from helping them fill out paperwork to representing them in contract disputes or making that call that only a lawyer can make that helps them out.
Opens the door.
Exactly. We open the door and do all of this for free. We've also helped women who are in situations of violence. We've helped take their children out of those situations of violence. I helped in one particular case of a young man by the name of Matthew, who his mother tried to kill him, threw him away in a dumpster. The journey that we took to get him back to his grandparents and in custody of his grandparents. So really from one extreme to the other, and I'm so thankful to be a part of that provision for them.
Ashley, this has been a most inspiring, really awesome conversation this Sunday afternoon. So at this point, we take a short break, and then we'll be back after the break to continue this very enlightening conversation.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Here again is your host, Tom McGovern.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. Our guest this Sunday afternoon is Ashley Cox. We're looking at your dedication, your passion for caring for women and for children, especially those who are the victims of domestic violence. I would say, I'm sure you would agree, Ashley, that all of us need to be aware of it, be cognizant of it, and try to help with it.
Yes, definitely. And not just domestic violence issues, but also all of these struggles that women face, from lack of education to poverty to health care. I mean, there's just so many struggles that women face in our community.
And I know you're part of and have been, this will be the continuing portion of this program this Sunday afternoon, is to look at the YWCA study, which looked at the status of women in Lubbock. Was there anything in this report stands out for you, or does it just go to underscore what you've always known?
Both of those things. It definitely underscores what I've always known. But to see them, when the Y commissioned this report, and I open it up and I read it, and to see those statistics, like only 10% of Hispanic women who graduated from high school actually go on to achieve a higher education. There was one that's like 42% of households with single mothers are in poverty. There's so many households in Lubbock that are single mothers who are head of household that are trying to take care of the kids. If they're employed, who's going to pay for daycare? They're trying to take care of parents. I mean, they're just these regular everyday struggles that these women are faced with. And to see those statistics in the report is very profound.
Emily Sharp, who works with the Y, on a recent program also pointed out that if we could alone help single mothers, single parents to take care of childcare, that would be such an enormous boon to the economy and to the women.
Definitely. And it's funny that you mention Emily, because she was my senior English teacher back at Abernathy. She is the reason why I became involved with the report in the first place, because she knew my background of my work with women, whether in my pro bono capacity or in the DA's office, and my passion for that. But she also knew that I have done quite a bit of writing over the last 10 years. So she wanted to come up with a way that we could show these statistics, where people could see these statistics in a very real way.
So writing, in addition to everything else that you do, you also have writing as part of your life's mission too.
Yes.
What particular areas of writing are you particularly dedicated to?
I would say faith first, drawing people closer to God. Become quite interested in politics and renewing our spirit, whether it's as an individual or as a nation as a whole.
Then the writing, of course, flowed directly into the YWCA report.
Right, exactly. I had done a project involving a civil rights leader in Mississippi. Her name is Mrs. Fannie Lou Hamer, and she really became the voice of the civil rights movement, the grassroots movements in Mississippi. Emily had read my work. Anyway, she wanted to come up with maybe a few skits for their Women of Excellence conference, or gala, I should say, that would show maybe a few scenes of women living these statistics. And ultimately what we came to was, why would we write scenes of women living these statistics when we can show real women and their real lives? So maybe people can identify with that and have compassion for that and see their struggle, hopefully want to make a difference.
Give a real face to the story, because we are our stories, our experiences, and giving voice and face to the women experiencing these conditions is so important and so riveting, so life-changing for others too.
Yes, people will be surprised. I think most of us live in a world where we don't understand what other people are actually going through, and don't think that that happens. That doesn't happen in Lubbock.
In a general way, are there stories that come to mind that you'd like to share with our listeners this Sunday afternoon?
That are part of the report?
Yeah.
The first one that comes to mind is a young woman who's 18, who has a child who's 2 years old. She is an example of people not knowing her story when you look at her. She's beautiful. She's smart. She's well-spoken. She's hardworking. She's a great mom. But the background of her story is she never had an opportunity to finish her high school diploma. In fact, she never even went to one day of the eighth grade. Her life story is about moving around from place to place, her family not having employment, not having food, learning how to scrap for food, really being in this survival situation her whole life. And then when she became pregnant, well, then her odds of graduating from high school go way down. But she was never given the tools or resources that you and I would have been given to know that your education is important. We're going to forego everything else to make sure that you graduate from high school. We're going to support you and help you. She had no help. So she never went to one day of the eighth grade. we at least got her in contact with the people that she needed to talk to try to figure out, how do I overcome that and how do I get back in school and try to get my high school diploma? And it's very difficult. She doesn't have the foundation for that. We took her to see Carolyn Thompson over at Matthews, and she told her, she said, you've got to go to the Lomax Center to get your GED first. And then after you get your GED, which she has no skills, background, foundation for, after you overcome all of that and study for that and get your GED, then you can get back in regular classes because you didn't go to the eighth grade. Maybe then graduate from high school, all, by the way, while she's taking care of a two-year-old and working, supporting her family.
Ashley, in describing this young woman's heroic efforts.
Very brave.
Very brave and very wonderful. And this is what you're about. Is facilitating for women and for children and for young adults an opportunity to access whatever we all take for granted.
And that's what we figured out. While we were doing the production, and I can't say enough, by the way, about KTTZ and the production team. We may have had this idea, but they're the real work. They put in all the work. They put in all the effort to build these relationships so these women would share their lives. It's really a profound thing. And what we found out was that we could help one person, even while we were just doing the Beyond the Report, while we were working on it, we could help one person. Ultimately, that was the goal of the Y and the partnership with the Y and KTTZ, is we're not going to fix all these big problems in the report. We're not going to fix all these statistics and all these struggles for these women, because there's so many factors that you can't possibly understand that go into why they are where they are.
But this is a very significant step, addressing this and doing something about it.
It is, and going, I don't know why you're here, but you're here. So what can we do to help? If we help one woman, then it was worth it. Hopefully, if we encourage the audience that's listening, who's your one woman? Who's the one woman that you can listen to and know their story and take your time and talents and resources and the things God has gifted you with to make a difference for that one woman?
So, Ashley, by way of introduction for Casey Ellingson and Jonathan Seaborn, who will be joining us for the next segment, what did you try to do with the report with Casey and with Jonathan?
Well, my part of it was to be the liaison to help them to have access to the women that they needed to have access to give voice and person to them, and to make sure that the women were treated well. That was not a concern. They came in, they were professional, they honored the women. We've been working on this since November. They've worked so hard to put this series together to connect with the people of Lubbock in the hopes that they can see and understand these stories and want to do something different about it.
And a final word to our listeners this Sunday afternoon. What's been the most rewarding part of all of this for you?
Number one, getting to meet total strangers who I didn't know before this started, and seeing all of the people who pour themselves into each other, from the production team to the groups that we encountered, to the women who are parts of those groups, how they care for each other, how the leaders care for them. They're loving each other and just watching everybody try to use their gifts for good, to put good in the world and to help one another without judgment, without condemnation, but saying, hey, you are where you are, and what can we do to help?
So it's the love of God at work, and a real, real hands-on. We are the hands in the presence of God when we care for each other.
Yes, absolutely.
Ashley, you've been an inspiration to us, and thank you so much for joining us this Sunday afternoon.
Well, thanks so much. It's been an honor, and it's been an honor to be a part of this project.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Here again is your host, Tom McGovern.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. And it's my delight this Sunday afternoon to have as our special guests, Ashley Cox, Casey Ellingson, and Jonathan Seaborn. Casey, why don't you introduce yourself?
As you said, my name is Casey Ellingson. I've been with KTTZ for a little over 2 years now, and I fairly recently switched over to a senior video producer.
Jonathan, equal time.
Jonathan Seaborn, I'm the production director at KTTZ TV. I oversee all of the television production for the station.
Casey, what exactly have Jonathan and yourself undertaken?
we've basically taken the report commissioned by the YWCA and sought out stories from the community to make a 10-part Digital First series. What Digital First means is it's made for our digital audience. So on social media, on our websites, but it will also be repackaged for radio as well as short TV interstitials.
Jonathan, what was your part?
Casey and I were essentially co-producers, co-directors on the project. The report was presented to us by Dr. Aliza Wong at the university in a meeting that Casey and I had with her about a different subject. From that point on, Casey and I read the report, researched the issues, met with the YWCA, met with Ashley, who was a big help in putting us in contact with most of the women that we speak to throughout it.
Casey, as you approach this particular project, what did you hope to achieve personally and professionally, artistically?
To capture these women's stories, a lot of them who we talk to, they're not in front of the camera, they're not in front of the media, so they're not often voices that you hear. These are working women, working mothers who all of their time is dedicated to supporting their family. Learning about them and getting to know them and getting them to trust us and hearing their stories and being able to tell those stories in a very honest manner, that was the goal.
And for you, Jonathan?
I really hoped that it furthered the conversation around the issues. It's not meant to be a direct visual representation of the report. It's meant to be kind of a companion to the report. The report does a great job of going into the statistics in deep detail, and we wanted to tell a more personal story to some of the data that's within the report. And we have a link on the website that we'll mention later that goes to the report. I hope that people read the report as well. It goes into areas that we didn't have a chance to go into, but then we also go into areas that the report doesn't quite touch on, so they're both pretty comprehensive.
Ashley, in working with these two young people on the report, what comes to mind?
They're amazing. They're two of the hardest working people I've ever met. They're very passionate about what they're doing. They really are trying to do something good with the report that most people in Lubbock would never see. So they're giving people access to it, and they're giving this very in-depth look into what the real lives of that report behind those statistics are.
In the previous segments, Ashley described very beautifully a young woman whom she had worked with as part of this project and some of the wonderful doors she was able to open. Casey, as you reflect back on the interviews you had with these magnificent human beings, anyone particular come to mind that you would like to share with our listeners by way of introduction to the series?
Every single woman in and out of the series that we met is absolutely amazing. One person who comes to mind is a single mother who is supporting two children right now on less than $15,000 a year. For me, as a single person, I don't think that I could even live off of that. To see that in person and hear her struggles was just amazing. And the fact that she opened up her door to us.
I do have a full-time job, but I make less than $15,000 a year. I struggle with that. The day-to-day struggles are, Mom, I need $10 for something or other at school, and I don't have it. As they get older, I have to worry about, okay, how am I going to get them in college?
She took time out of her day, out of working two jobs, to talk with us. It was incredible.
What lasting impression will you carry of this woman, as woman to woman specifically?
Knowing her strength and knowing her passion for what she does, for making time for other people, she's inspiring.
And the same question to you, Jonathan.
It's hard to pick one singular story. They're all so powerful in their own right.
I've learned that we have to be advocates for ourselves. It's like you have to work together with the doctors and you have to make decisions for your care, for your health. And I think that was a vital point in my life of just learning to take charge of that.
It's really moving and touching, and I'm appreciative of all these women that they were willing to sit down with us and talk about things that weren't easy to talk about. People talking about experiences of abuse, whether that be emotional or physical, monetary struggles, which is sometimes not the easiest thing to talk about in a form that you know is going to be publicly accessible to anyone. They're just in a very vulnerable state.
I've been a single woman a long time. I never put myself in the category of the same women that I work with. I put myself in the category of divorced and a single mom. I needed my electric bill paid. I needed someone to come in and sit with my baby while I went home and showered. And I decided right then I was going to be the change that we needed as a group of Christians for single mom.
I know that those things aren't easy to talk about with anyone, and then you add the element of a camera, and then add the element that you know that it's going to be seen and heard on multiple platforms by a large number of people. That can't be easy.
I took one of the least performing stores, and I trained them, I developed them. We made it one of the top performing stores. During this time period, I'm still asking about my career. What do I need to do to get me to the next level? There have been plenty of positions I've been passed over.
As Casey said, their strength to have survived and deal with the things they're dealing with, but then their courage to be willing to talk about those things and tell those stories in a public fashion to hopefully help other women. One of our goals is that they understand the access to resources available, but then also help other women in the sense that they know that there are other people dealing with the same issue.
When we suffer, part of our own healing is a safe place to tell our story so that our suffering counts. Ashley, as you hear your two collaborators, both Casey and Jonathan, share their response to the series, what does that do for you?
Just feel thankful for their efforts and their hard work. Feel thankful for the women who've shared their stories, for just everybody who's put so much into this. I just really hope and pray that people will watch and listen and reach out to their one woman that maybe they can make a difference for.
And also support the Y. I think YWCA is one of God's great gifts to Lubbock. Jonathan?
October 18th, we're having a public screening of a few of the episodes and some discussions at the Helen DeVitt Jones Auditorium at the Texas Tech Museum. We'll have information on KTTZ's Facebook and all of our social media, the website and everything. And we plan to have discussions with some of the women between the episodes that we show, as well as kind of a town hall style discussion at the end with different resources available.
October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Casey, in a word or two, what would you hope the series achieves?
Just awareness.
And on to you, Jonathan.
I hope it helps facilitate the conversation further. A lot of times we think these things can't happen here or aren't happening here. So I hope that women see they're not alone and that there are issues that hopefully as a community we could address.
And Ashley, a final word.
I would think my word would be connect. See what these women are going through, what they're struggling with. Connect with the women that you can. Help your woman. Help one woman down the street, your neighbor. Everybody's thinking in their mind, oh, I know someone. I know this woman, or she maybe is going through this. And just have compassion for that and help them right in the place where they are, no matter.
Jonathan?
The website is Beyond the Report. lbk.com.
For our listeners again, please.
Beyond the Report, lbk.com. You could also find it just by searching at kttz.org. Everything will live on the Beyond the Report, lbk.com website, as well as KTTZ TV and FM. It'll be Monday mornings at 7:45 a.m. and then again at 5:44 p.m. starting October 7th on KTTZ FM.
On behalf of Chuck Luck, our producer, and myself, my deepest gratitude to Ashley, to Casey, and to Jonathan for this most inspiring, at the same time challenging program, because it addresses the suffering of people we care about. And that people like you are willing to do this is such an inspiration. And thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1 with your host, Tom McGovern. Join us next Sunday for another edition of Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1, a service of Texas Tech Public Media.